Chapter 9. The Routine of Mr. Edgar Trent. Respectable London was quiet at night. In the era before the internal combustion engine, the business and financial districts at the centre of the town were deserted and silent, except for the quiet footsteps of the Metropolitan Police Constables making their 20-minute rounds. As dawn came, the silence was broken by the crowing of roosters and the mooing of cows, barnyard sounds incongruous in an urban setting. But in those days, there was plenty of livestock in the central city, and animal husbandry was still a major London industry, and indeed, during the day, a major source of traffic congestion. It was not uncommon for a fine gentleman to be delayed in his coach by a shepherd with his flock moving through the streets of the city. London was the largest urban concentration in the world at that time, but by modern standards, the division between city and country life was blurred. Blurred, that is, until the Horse Guards' clock chimed 7 o'clock, and the first of that peculiarly urban phenomenon, commuters, appeared on their way to work, conveyed by the Marrowbone Stage, that is, on foot. These were the armies of women and girls employed as seamstresses in the sweatshops of West End dress factories, where they worked 12 hours a day for a few shillings a week. At 8 o'clock, the shops along the great thoroughfares took down their shutters. Apprentices and assistants dressed the windows in preparation for the day's commerce, setting out what one sarcastic observer called the innumerable whim-whams and fribble-frabble of fashion. Between 8 and 9 o'clock was rush hour, and the streets became crowded with men. Everyone from government clerks to bank cashiers, from stockbrokers to sugar bakers and soap boilers, made their way to work, on foot, in omnibuses, tandems, dog carts, altogether a rattling, noisy, thickly jammed traffic of vehicles and drivers who cursed and swore and lashed at their horses. In the midst of this, the street sweepers began their day's labours. In the ammonia-rich air, they collected the first droppings of horse dung, dashing among the carts and omnibuses. And they were busy. An ordinary London horse, according to Henry Mayhew, deposited 6 tons of dung on the streets each year, and there were at least 1 million horses in the city. Gliding through the midst of this confusion, a few elegant brooms, with gleaming dark-polished wood carriages and delicately sprung, lacy-spoked wheels, conveyed their substantial citizens in utter comfort to the day's employment. Pierce and Edgar, crouched on a rooftop overlooking the imposing façade of the Huddleston and Bradford Bank across the way, watched as one such broom came down the street towards them.